But we know that Sabbath school lesson we had for today is choices, to make choices, whether we're making the right ones or not. And I just pray that we are, you know. But we are creatures of habit, are we not? You're here this morning, aren't you? Is it by habit? What kind of a habit? Really, it's a good habit to be into. But more to it there, you're here by divine guidance. Each one of us are here by that divine guidance that we have. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we are about to listen to your word, Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit is one that is guiding and directing us. It is knocking at our heart's door, Father. He wants us to follow him, to go where he wants us to go, Father. We just pray that we will do that. The guidance of God, the guidance of Jesus, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And yes, that's what I'm talking about this morning, guidance. And who do you trust the most? Here in this life, we know that we trust our loved ones, ones that are real close to us. But we need to really trust God the most, trust the Lord Jesus Christ the most. And as we take this book, we know it's a book of guidance. It's a guidance book to immortality. But how many times have you been guided by something or someone? Usually a lot of times, I know in the past I've done it, especially when I was small, got me in trouble. When I was, you know, would follow somebody or something that I had that I know it wasn't, good for me, you know. But the guide means to show the way, to direct movement or course of, to direct in any course of action. A person that shows the way, leads, conducts, or directs. And I believe that we know who that is. To guide implies being familiar with the way and all the points of interest, the dangers along the way, and it means to go with you to point these things out. We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to live in this life alone. We have a guide. And we certainly know that the Holy Spirit knows the way, knows all the points of interest, knows all the dangers of the way, and he wants to go with us to point these out so that we can avoid them. But you know that many times we have our own, you know, way to go. We've got to try it ourselves, go this way or that way. But the Holy Spirit is there to try to get us back on that track, you know. And so we just, and even if we do, you know, watch for that guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, we still lack confidence and stability in going along the ways that we do. And the confusion comes from our different interpretations of the truth. Each church has their own interpretations of the truth. We pray that we know that we are, this church is the closest to the truth that we believe, you know. Untested principles. We haven't really tested the principles in our life. And we can't overcome, how can we overcome confusion and respond to God's guidance and with a clear obedience to his will? And the first, scripture reading I have today is Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Yes, we will walk in the light that we have. We need to develop a curious and quick mind in Christ. We know that we don't have all the answers. Sometimes we think we do. But we need to be connected to the one that does. And we know that God has all the answers. And if we follow them, we will have that eternal life that he has promised us. We need to walk in all the light that we have. And by reading the scriptures, we find that light. And we need to follow it in our lives to be like Jesus and that. Person who wants to be a long-distance runner usually starts with short distances. If you want to learn a language, you start with a few verses, a few words first, you know. And And as we're walking that light, it doesn't mean we all always have perfect stability. There's always things that will give us to there. We can look at when we was learning to walk. When we fell down, we got right back up again. Tried it again. You know? So that's what we need to do with this light that we have. You know, we stumble, you know, with that light first. But then when practice, we learn how to walk in that light, especially in the fullness of that light that Christ has given us, you know. We will test to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. School tests, a part of it, or tests are given as a part of the evaluation of process. Things that we don't understand and need more clarity, the teacher usually gives that to us, you know. And then our conduct is tested by the Holy Spirit. Even before we've given our lives over to Jesus, he tests us, brings to us the knowledge of Jesus, and then whether we accept him or not. He wants to see if we are acceptable to the Lord, and if we experience clarity in this guidance that he wants to give us each day. And where does this testing happen? We know this happens right out here in the world, out in darkness. But the light's out there right now, the light's on here. It's not dark, is it? But we know that the world as a whole is in darkness because of sin, you know. So we just we need to rely on all the testing devices that God has given us. And we know that there are many out there that he has given us. And they're at our disposal. Every testing device is in Scripture is at each one of our disposals, and I just pray that we do take them and look at them each and every day. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit to start with, and we can read that in Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you to both to will and do of his good pleasure. Both to will and to do his good pleasure. You know, do that. And along with the addition of the Holy Spirit, there's about four testing devices. There are other ones here, but I have four picked out today. Number one, the conscience of the person being tested, our conscience. You know, we take our conscience, it computes and stores the data that we have in our minds, you know, gives us that information, and we receive it, and then we choose whether the right and wrong. And as we talked in Sabbath school this morning, we pray that we make the right choice. God has given us choice from right or wrong, and we just pray that it is the right choice, and we're here today because we are following Jesus, you know. The decisions that we make either conforms or warns us against the attitude or actions that we may have that are about to take in each one of our lives. And Titus 1:15 talks about that. Titus 1:15. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving and is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. We know that our mind and our conscience can be defiled if we are not following the word, if we are following the world, if we're out there in that darkness. And a conscience that has been exposed to that darkness is not always trustworthy. We can't trust our conscience, you know. Holy, then we've been taught the truth, though. We have that conscience, and our conscience will bear it with the Holy Spirit and help guide us to that territory that we need to go into so that we are following God's guidance. And we can talk about that in Romans 9:1. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience always bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Our conscience has a lot to do with our lives. especially in following the right way. And I just pray that we do follow that there, the right way to go. The second testing device is the counsel of other Christians. Sometimes we get in trouble with this, but we know that if we follow the conscience and the counsel of other Christians, it will help us. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16, and I read that, is the thing there, and I'd like to read it again now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we know that we need to follow Jesus all the way. Believers are taught to teach and to admonish one another. But we know that no believer is to become the highest authority. None of us are in that capability to do that. Only God can do that. But yet the more experienced believers we need to look to the obedience that they have, and so we can be sought for advice on confusing issues. If we have an issue that we don't understand, we go to these other Christian brothers and sisters that do have that knowledge, you know. And the third test is common sense. Most of the time, I don't have too much of that. That's what always gets me in trouble, is my common sense that I don't use, you know. But Titus 2:12 talks about that, and it tells us how to live. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yes, to live soberly. And that means sensibility, to have the sense to be. But we know that we aren't to take common sense and to accept it as complete sense, but usually it's not. Many ways, times God leads us into ways that we don't understand. Doesn't seem why is God leading us down this pathway, you know. But he has a reason for every one of them, you know. But we need to evaluate every situation with our minds and choose to follow God wherever he wants us to go. And the fourth one is circumstances. Circumstances sometimes puts us in wrong places. Sometimes it puts us in right places. But when we're in the wrong places, how do we react? Do we go the positive way or the negative way with these events? For an example, we can look at that, and based on the relationship that you have with your children, you have with the children in the church, you think maybe you ought to be a teacher. But you know that you don't have that teaching ability. You don't even have a teacher's certificate to be able to do that. So you either got to go back to school and to learn something, or you got to forget that vocational choice that you made, you know. But your circumstances influence your decision. But that's not always alone, you know, to make that decision to follow these testing advices that God gives to us there. The four traits there that I've given, along with the inspiration of God's word, verifies God's guidance that he will give us to that. We will reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And that's what is our job, to go out there and to reprove these unfruitful works of darkness. God will give us all the tools that we need to do that. We don't have to do it alone. We have someone along with us to do that, you know. To reprove means to rebuke or to silence so as to bring out conviction or confession of guilt. And we given the words there, I don't think it's, I'm able to do that where a person will bring out the confession or, you know, the guilt that they have. But if the knowledge that I give to them I pray that the Holy Spirit is able to work on their minds and their hearts, and then they can come to that confession of guilt or not, you know, that. And we show it usually not by our words, by our conduct. Our conduct that people look at is the best thing that we can have to help lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. God's guidance is offered in this world to show us to how to live, to influence people in this evil world. We know that the world isn't evil. It's in darkness, you know. John Bunyan describes a minister as one who has his back to the world, his face towards heaven, and a book in his hand. Maybe you probably have heard that before. But maybe to be a little more precise, it should say he has a book in his mind, his eyes on Jesus, and his body in the world, where we certainly know that we are in the world. But we don't have to be a part of it, especially if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to that way. You know, we can live in this manner. We can demonstrate to the world the truth that we have to help call others to it so that the Holy Spirit can guide them also. We know that God is our refuge. We can turn to him at any time. We just pray that our complete lives are in his control, that we are under his arms, you know. We come to the church, and it's there to shelter us from storms, at least in my estimation it is. And I pray that that is for you also, that you come to church to be sheltered from these storms that are out there, you know. But God's guidance must be tested. He even asks us to test him in our everyday life, out in this world of where there is light in the darkness, where they meet together. Light and darkness is meeting at every moment here in this world, and we are a part of it. Many times we're frightened by the conflict, but we don't know what to do. But it proves that God is more than enough for us, or we will perish if we don't follow him. If we don't walk in that light that he's given us, we know the answer. We know what's going to happen. We're going to lose out on eternal life. And we know that each one of us doesn't want to do that. We want eternal life. We want to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for eternity. And we start right here on this earth. We don't have to wait down the line for all these promises that God is coming to fruition. We can have them now, Father. We can have eternal life now if we follow Jesus, if we follow the guidance that God has given us, if we follow this book. If we read this book every day. And as I said before, I don't read it enough. I need to read more and more so that I can come to this, put it in our minds, and then when the time comes and we need to speak out, the Holy Spirit's going to put the words into our mouths that we need. We don't have to. If we're reading this book, we don't have to worry about what we're going to say down the road. The Holy Spirit is going to help us, is going to give these words to say to that, you know. But we test to prove what is acceptable to God. And as we reprove the unfruitful works of the darkness by our words or our deeds. And as I said, it's our words and our deeds. It's our conduct that people see. That people can a lot of times make a choice whether to follow Jesus or not. It's not to follow us, but it's to follow Jesus, to make the right decision in their lives to follow Jesus. And so as we look at these guidelines that God has put in his Bible, in a book, in his book, in our word that we have before us. There are a few mistakes in here that we maybe, but it's because of the interpretations that has been done. But the Holy Spirit enlightened the prophets of old to write these words down. It was not their words, but it was the words of the Holy Spirit so that we could know about Jesus Christ. So as we close, let's sing hymn number 538. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Our Father, may the light of the Savior be shown to the world through each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.